like a rapsack backpack. I'm back. That's fucking stupid.
You got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Hey all, it's me, Mike, your host for Ego and Vice. Welcome to episode 16. This is part two of my interview with my good friend Sarah Destruction. Sarah is a long-running member of the Ottawa music scene. She's a member of the Ottawa community, and she's mom-to-be. And it was awesome to sit down with her and discuss our history together, her history for everything that she has done in her life, which is a lot of stuff, a lot of very interesting stuff. So if you haven't listened to part one, go back into the Ego and Vice archives and pull up part one of Sarah Destruction. Going to kind of get right into it. I don't really have a ton of stuff to talk about, so there it is. Let's get right into it, because Sarah's story is way more interesting than mine. So, cool. This is Ego and Vice, episode 16. This is part two of my interview with the one and the only, the woman, the myth, the legend, Miss Sarah Destruction. Okay. Hey, part two. The one thing about the Brat Attack, if we're just going to end on that, is the Brat Attack was the second time that you and I connected again, because the Brat Attack was playing when you got back from your European tour. You were playing a homecoming gig, I think it was, which was booked at the House of Targ, but it was on a Tuesday. I think it was on a Tuesday, and you sent me a message and you said, hey, how would you guys feel about playing, like opening or just playing with us? We're coming back from our European tour. How would you feel about playing at the House of Targ on a Tuesday? I know it's a shitty night. And we were just like, absolutely. Because I don't think we had actually... I think that was our very first House of Targ gig, actually. Goat's very first House of Targ gig. Do you remember?
I'm so sorry, but I'm trying to recall if that was even before or after Europe. Because I don't think Brat Attack played a show when we got back from Europe.
No, it was after Europe. Absolutely guarantee it from my memory, because after the Brat Attack or the House of Targ gig with you guys, Davey asked me if I wanted to play the house or the Cafe de Cuff gig about a month later with like the Hot Dog Kids and whatever. There was a couple other bands, and the show was canceled. Not canceled. It stayed together, but it was taken over by a different promoter, Alexandra Dropkick, mm-hmm. or Alexandra Lane took it over. And we still played, but he ended up leaving. So it was after Europe. It was your show back.
Okay.
I'm sorry if I'm rewriting your memory, but this is.
You're totally not. It's just I think it was probably just like the whole adrenaline, the hustle of Europe and stuff.
I think so.
Trying to piece together the pieces.
Yeah, but anyway, we played that gig, and I remember we talked after. I think we played, and then you guys played, and because I remember me and Mike and Polly showed up, the bass player and the well, you guys know Mike and Polly. Fuck, you listen to the show. Hopefully, we were hanging out back, and we were having a smoke, and you showed up on your bike, and you had the Evel Knievel helmet, I think, and I'm like, hey, and you're like, hey, and we were like talking out back, and you were with I think you were with Mark. I think you rode your bike there with Mark.
Possibly, yeah.
I think so. And we were talking, and then after the show, you're like, you guys are really great. You're like my favorite band in Ottawa right now. I remember you saying that, and I'm like, awesome. That's really cool.
You guys were awesome. I loved seeing you guys play. Like, mm-hmm. I was so stoked to play the show with you guys.
So as time went on, after that show, and then the Cafe de Cuff show went through, and we played that show, I knew what had happened where the Brat Attack was no longer. And like I said earlier, Goat had always been looking for a second guitar player. And I think I sent you a text or something, or a Facebook PM or something. I'm like, hey, not sure what you're doing, but I was wondering if you wanted to come jam with Goat.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and you like texted back. You're like, sure, let's do that.
Yeah, no, I totally, I think it was kind of just good timing on that part, because I had a few months off from the Brat Attack and just had time to kind of settle. And, you know, I think I was ready to start something new.
And it's really funny, it's because it's like my premonition, or not my premonition, my prediction from when I saw you a few years earlier at the Cafe de Cuff show. I was like, that's going to be our guitar player. And all of a sudden, you're like, yeah, okay, let's do that. And I remember we kind of set it up. And I don't know what the date was. Jesus Christ, it was a few years ago or a couple years ago. And I came and picked you up on Bronson. You were living on Bronson at the time.
Yeah.
And you said, yeah, I figured out some songs. And then I picked you up and we went to Eric's place. And then we just started jamming. And then you just never left.
You're stuck.
Yeah.
So I actually, even before I knew you, I actually knew Polly.
Yeah, right.
So I knew Polly from years back, because I used to work at a head shop here in Ottawa called Smoke Signals. Mm-hmm. And Polly used to come into the store. So this was like way back in like 2009, 2010. He was a customer. So I've actually known him for like five or 6 years before I even met you. But so he would come in and he would buy incense. And I knew him from Cornwall. So this is going way back to Cornwall, because I used to work at Smoke Signals in Cornwall, and he lives in Cornwall. So he used to come into the store there. And then when I moved to Ottawa, he would come visit me here in Ottawa. So I'm not sure how he still lives in Cornwall. So I'm a little bit confused. I'm like, what was he doing at the Smoke Signals in Ottawa?
Well, he lived in Ottawa for a while. He lived on Catherine Street in Ottawa. He lived downtown for quite a while.
That must have been that time.
He only moved to Cornwall maybe 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. But that was the reason we were at the Cafe de Cuff show to begin with, because he knew you, or he knew whatever. And you said, let's go to the Rah Rah Riot show.
Perfect, because he would come into Smoke Signals and he would say, oh, I'm in this band called Goat, you gotta check out our CD. And he gave me one of your CDs, and I thought it was the coolest thing, because it was a stencil cutout of the goat head. So I got that CD probably like 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And who knows, who would have ever thought that, you know, down the line I'd be playing in the band.
I guess so. I guess it was somewhat fate. And those CDs, fuck those CDs, because I think you helped me one time.
You,
oh
yeah.
My God.
They're awesome.
We have these CDs where we actually take like an X-Acto knife and we have to cut out like a goat head, because you can use it as a stencil and shit, and it's a grind. Anyway, regardless. so you came out to jam, and then we decided to just keep playing. And I think we played a show at the Rainbow. You were technically jamming with us at the time, but you said, I'm not really ready to play. I don't want to play. And we played with Slumlord, and we played with, oh God, I can't remember. But the first show that you played with us,
Slumlord played with us for the first show I played.
Oh, was that it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fuck. So,
but no,
see?
But there, it's okay. It's all good. This was a couple years ago and we're getting old. So.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't even know who we played with at the Rainbow, but I think it was at the Rainbow again. It was Rainbow,
yeah,
then Rainbow. Okay,
I came and I sat in the audience and I was like, there's my band on stage. I'm not in it yet, but yeah. I will, you know.
Yeah. And I wanted you to play, but we all knew that it was just like, I've jammed like once. It's like, okay, fine. So yeah, then we played. Oh, that it was with Voltang,
yes.
Slumlord. And us, I think. And then that's what set it off. And then we rolled with it. And it was a great 2 years. But fuck, that's just summing it up like super fast. But let's talk about Goat. How do I talk about my own band? I don't know where to begin.
Yeah.
I think my whole goal with like Goat is that when you came in the band, like I said, I always wanted a second guitar player, and we sat and we worked on some songs, and we went like right into the studio. Maybe a few months after you joined, when you actually said, "Okay, yeah, this is my thing."
I joined in November 2015, and I think we recorded like the first album I recorded with you. I think was in February. Mm-hmm. Of the following year. I remember it was like still,
yeah,
snow was still on the ground
a
little bit.
We went up to Pembroke and we recorded with Jordan, and we recorded our EP, Tough. No, Smooth.
Smooth.
Smooth. Yeah, and it was cool. And I don't know. I guess it was a bit of a transitional period, but everything like fit really well.
How did it feel for you, like being this three piece band for all of Goat, and then all of a sudden having this fourth member?
It was different because Goat was before you joined the band. Goat was together for about 4 years as a three piece. Yeah, because this September will be our 7th year as a band. So yeah, we were together about 4 years. And like I said, for the fourth time, we were always looking for a second guitar player because I sing and play guitar. So I was really looking for somebody to kind of alleviate the whole guitar part of it, where I didn't have to play guitar all the time. And when you came in, it was a pretty easy fit because we got along really well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it was like a really easy transition because I don't know. I guess any band that sits down in a basement and kind of plays their thing or does their thing, they get this little bubble that they live in, their little environment. And when you came in, it wasn't like there wasn't like a bubble pop or there wasn't anything weird. Yeah. It was just like, hey, what's up? And we got along like famously.
That's amazing when things happen naturally like that, you know? It doesn't happen often.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. And you picked up on the stuff, and the cool thing is that you liked the stuff and you liked us, which is probably the hardest part, you know, with all our silly songs and whatnot. But yeah, we started booking shows, and you had a huge huge part in pushing Goat a little bit further from the people that you had built your reputation or a reputation with in Ottawa, because you introduced us to Chris Feeney from Spectrasonic and stuff. And we had a great summer where we played.
Yeah, we had an awesome summer.
Yeah, where we played with CJ Ramone.
Yeah.
And we played with SNFU, and just getting us kind of our foot in the door at Targ too. We hadn't played at Targ until we played with the Brat Attack, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just like meeting those people. So it was...
So I was able to introduce you to like a kind of a different network within Ottawa.
It was kind of opened up. It was the same. Yeah, absolutely. It was the same idea, but a different aspect of the city, right? Where it was just like, okay, there's your people, here's my people. This is everything we've done together. Let's put it together and let's see what we can do with it. And we did really great. Like, that summer was amazing. We played with, what was that band in the middle? Do you remember when Polly was playing with the band, the Ninja Band?
And 1, 2, 3 Ninja? Or?
Une, deux, trois, go Ninja? Okay. And he couldn't, one of our shows, like, it was on the same night for some reason. And we played with Cross Dog?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Cross Dog?
Yeah.
And we actually had a fill-in for Polly. Do you remember that?
I do remember.
Yeah, we had... I got super upset about it. And he's like, no, I can't not play the show. And I said, we're on this kind of weird kind of like flow. And you really should play the show. And he's like, I'm not going to play the show. So we had like a fill-in. It was like the only Goat show that Polly never played. We had our friend Adam come in and play. Yeah, Cross Dog. That was a good one.
Yeah, we end up playing Montreal too.
Yeah, we went to Montreal a bunch of times because we have some friends in Montreal. But yeah, so everything was good. We recorded Smooth, and then we started writing Tough over the whole course of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was kind of a mismatched, kind of put together record, but we tried to. I remember when I was writing that record too, because I was, it was still like that start of the figuring out, because I had always written to, I was always like the guitar vocalist, and now that you were a singer and a guitar player, it was like, how do we fit this together? And I was trying so hard to write like back and forth stuff so that you could get as much singing in as possible, and trying to leave the door open for you to like write your own stuff and play. And
but I think it all came together like really, it all came together really well. Mm-hmm. You know, like having both of our backgrounds and combining them, you know, I think it fit. I loved the songs that we did. That it was the back and forth. I love, that's such an awesome dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we recorded Tough, and there was like two songs that I really wanted to do. I was trying to write like a lot of like back and forth, play off each other vocal stuff. And we did that because we did Growler and we did Give Me a Break. Was that what it's called? Which, yeah, we don't play anymore. Because how the fuck are we supposed to play it now? And then we also did Brain Goo, which you heard in the very start of part one. And that was the song that you wrote, the one Goat song that I didn't write. So that was cool. So what was your experience like with Goat? Sorry, I'm talking about myself. Like I get, once I start talking about Goat, I'm like, oh, Lou, I'll tell about my thing. And I'm like jumping over a whole bunch of stuff. So when you joined Goat, like how was that for you? Like, how did you feel? Were you like, well, I'll try this out, or?
I think I jumped right in because I'd been listening to your music even before I had joined the band, and it's exactly what I would play naturally anyways. Mm. So it was just an easy fit, and I just, you know, like became like a part of the Goat family. Like I felt instantly like hanging out with you guys was just, I loved it. I just was always looking forward to jams. Mm-hmm. I just loved being a part of the band, and you know, it was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah. And yeah, it was like I said, it flowed pretty naturally, and we came up with a lot of like fun stuff, and we always had fun like in the jam spot. Just, it's a funny thing with Goat. It's a funny band because a lot of times you get in a band and it's just like there's a lot of like, you feel like a lot of pressure, and it's like you got to do one thing, you got to do everything, or do nothing or something. And Goat always, we always try to push that whole, just feel comfortable and do what you do, and let's just talk about stuff and let's be friends and not try to turn the band into some kind of like a job almost. Mm-hmm. Where it's like too much, where there's like resentment or whatever. And I don't know. I think that worked out pretty good. I think it did.
Yeah. Should we play a song maybe?
A Goat song?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we played Self-Diagnosis. Oh, you actually want to play a Goat song?
Why not?
I don't know. It seems a little self-indulgent. We could play Growler.
Sure. So Growler was, we actually, that was a music video that we had with the band, which was a lot of fun to shoot.
Shot by
my boyfriend, Joshua, yeah. Stewart Boyd. So he came over and, you know, recorded us in the basement, doing a bunch of takes. And we had a music video for Growler. I think that was a blast.
Yeah, that was cool, man. And the editing turned out really well, and the song itself turned out really well. And I think we submitted it for Blues Fest, and we didn't get in. But here's
womp,
the...
Womp, womp.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? All right, fuck it. Let's do it. It's super funny. Eh? It's like when I, being the host of this podcast, when I'm asking people questions about their past life, I just sit here and I'm like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. but you don't want to talk about your band.
I don't know. Like, I feel weird about talking about my own band. And like when you're presenting me with questions, I'm just like, is that what it feels like to be on the other end of the spectrum?
Guess fuck. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to like sum up my band without trying to be too whatever. But okay, fuck it. Let's play Growler. This is off our 2016 release, Tough. This is Goat. This is Growler. It's Ego and Vice.
Take all my reasoning away.
So that was Growler from Goat. 2016 release, I think. And that was, we also did a video, which we already talked about, was shot by Josh.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that you also introduced me to, because I was always one who was just like, ah, we'll just go out and play shows and whatever. I don't care about anything else. But one thing that you kind of like introduced me to was like merch.
Yeah.
Like I always had CDs and stuff, but the merch aspect of the band to me really came from you.
Yeah. You had t-shirts.
We did.
You had t-shirts and you had CDs. But I loved, like, I'm very DIY and I love crafts and stuff. And like with Rah Rah Riot, we had our own silk screen and we like screen printed our own t-shirts and it was always a lot of fun. So,
mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, let's, you know, now that you have a new person in the band, maybe there could be kind of like a new logo you could kind of come up with the band.
Which still remains as our main money getter with bands because we're still selling those t-shirts. Maybe we should talk about...
It's true, though. Whenever you go out and you just, like, see a local band, buy their merch. Yeah. It's really important because that's what goes back into recording and that's where you're going to be able to hear more music from them.
All I ever really cared about was just playing shows. But once we got... Like we made like a new design. You're like, maybe we should come up with like some sort of kind of like cool punk rock like logo or whatever. We always had the goat head, but then you had your friend, create the goat man.
The goat man that's on all the shirts. Yeah. So I had a friend who lives here in Ottawa, Joel G, and I talked to him and I was like, maybe he could help draw up something really cool for us. So he came up with this idea. Like I talked with him about sprouting off ideas and he came up with what's now on a lot of the goat shirts. And you still have the old logo, but you also have this new kind of mascot.
Both. Yeah, we have
of
both,
this punk
sure.
rock goat playing a guitar wearing a goat vest.
Yeah, and it was like super fitting for what we were doing. Like I said, we made a lot of shirts, so we're still selling them. But the goat man, that's what he was coined. I'm not sure. But the goat man was, I think he has like some denim vest on with the back patch of the actual original goat logo.
Yeah.
Yet he's playing the guitar, like you said, and whatnot. So it's cool. It did come open my eyes up to that because I was very stubborn about stuff. I was like, I give away our music for free and we just want to play because we want to play. And you were like, well, why don't we make some shirts and make like a few bucks just to do it? And I'm like, fine. But it's cool, man. And it's cool going to a gig and like setting up your little merch station. And when you have cool merch and stuff, but it wasn't just t-shirts either. It was like the pins and the back patches and the small patches and the stickers and
we totally went all out. It was fun. And it was a company from Cornwall, Ontario called Drop Dead Thread that had... did an awesome job making all the stuff for us. And since Paulie's living in Cornwall, he was able to pick it up and bring it to Ottawa for us. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for t-shirts, getting anything made, they're an awesome company to check out.
We did, you can sell like t-shirts and whatnot like individually, but we ended up doing these packages. Remember we made special t-shirts for our Tough record release where they were we made like 5 purple t-shirts.
Yep.
And we ended up putting them in like Ziploc bags with a purple t-shirt, all the CDs.
A grab bag.
Yeah, right. The back patch, the small patch, like 3 kinds of stickers and a whole bunch of pins. So it was every piece of merch and you could buy everything individually and it would cost you X amount of dollars. Fucking sorry. But we put it all in a Ziploc bag and we sold it as like the goat, like super pack or whatever. and the show, when we had all the merch the first time, we put these things in these Ziploc bags and we put them up for like $40 or something like that. And we sold like 5 of them or 4 of them or something like that. And we're like, holy.
It wasn't even that expensive. It was a lot cheaper.
It was
than
like,
that
you
too.
Could have everything goat's ever done in this fucking Ziploc bag. And people actually bought them though.
Yeah.
We still have one. We have one like goat. Pack or I can't remember
one
what they're
purple
called.
Shirt on the mannequin and the
oh yeah that
space.
That's
Do you
ours
still have
though.
The mannequin there
yeah that's ours though
okay
yeah we're not gonna sell that one but yeah. We still have one but I think we actually took it apart to take the CDs out of it so anyway Okay, so that was GOAT, and sorry. It's really funny. We were talking off air. We paused it when we were playing Growler. How awkward I become immediately when I start talking about my own stuff, eh? It's like I have guests on and I have people on who have histories and have their own bands, and I feel really confident to be like, so what did you do next and this and that? And then talking about my own band is like, wow, I don't really know what to say about it. So if that got kind of weird for me, I apologize.
It's totally cool. I get it. I feel like the same thing. Like I'm on Ego and Vice, and I feel like the show is just kind of like, it rubs your ego in a little way because you're talking about like your past, you know, and like what you're doing. And
yeah,
I think it's natural to feel, you know, to want to kind of change the attention over to someone else.
Yeah, I guess so. The show was never made to promote my own stuff, though. It was made to talk to my friends, right, and see what they're doing.
I was a part of GOAT, so.
And then you weren't.
And then I wasn't.
What happened there?
How did I not be in GOAT anymore? I think it just, at the start of this year, so start of 2017, I started to just, I was going through a lot mentally. So I was starting to burn out. Had nothing to do with GOAT, had nothing to do with the band. But I think I was just feeling really overwhelmed with work. I was just starting to experience a lot of the symptoms of burnout. So I was like lacking motivation, just feeling like antisocial, having a difficult time at work. And unfortunately that started to kind of, you know, rub into all aspects of my life, which GOAT was, you know, a big part of my life.
I just quit a band myself like 3 days ago. So I can relate to this more than I could when like a year ago. Like, I completely empathize and understand where you're coming from now.
It's true. I mean, like, you're doing so much too. Like, you're juggling so much stuff with your podcasts and bands. And even though I didn't seem like I was doing a lot, but like being a social worker and working in women's housing and, you know, just, I think it was just starting to weigh on me. And, I think I just felt like I just needed a break. I just needed some me time. I didn't really have a chance to have like that time for myself to kind of focus on like what it was that I needed clearly. And so I think we ended up going out one night to a bar, and I we had some drinks, and I sort of started to talk to you a little bit about this and open up with kind of what I was feeling.
I'm not sure where we went to when we started, but we ended up at like the pool hall on Bank Street. What's that? It doesn't matter. But we ended up on the pool hall, but then we ended up at the Moose
McGuire's.
Because we were all living in the South at the time. And somehow our conversation got into something, and you were like, yeah, I think I'm going to travel, or you wanted to do something.
I was saying, I think I need to, a light kind of went off that night, and I remember I was like, I don't think I can work at my job I'm working at anymore. Mm. I think that's kind of where it started. And I think I just said, I need to take some time for myself. And you were super supportive, and you were so like receptive to hearing it. And you were just like, you know, like if, you know, like it kind of came out of like left field, I think, for you to hear all this stuff, you know, but I think you were saying, like, you know, if you need to take a little bit of time for yourself, like, that's okay, you know. And I think after that conversation, I just went home, and it just made sense. I'm like, I need a change, because I had a few months of just like burnout and just losing myself. I wasn't feeling like myself. So
yeah,
I end up, you know, I think after that happened, I think I had another conversation with you, or we jammed a few more times, and then I talked with the band. And
well, we played one more show. I don't remember. It was a House of Targ show. It was like your final show. Because you stuck with the band for another few weeks or a month, because we had one more show to do.
Right.
But I remember when you brought it up to me, you were like, I want to do kind of this and that. And it wasn't like I didn't feel angry. Like I was just like, I was listening to what you said, and I was trying to like put myself in like the position, and you know, just be like, yeah, okay, that's cool. If that's what you need to do, then that's what you need to do. Yeah. Like it
had nothing to do with any one of you in the band or any of the things. Yeah. It was really just a very personal.
It's so crazy. Like, again, to because I just went through this like 3 days ago, like I can completely understand your position on that. It's like, I don't want to make it feel like it's you guys. I don't want to think like I don't like what I'm doing. It's just not right for me right now.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how I felt. And mm-hmm. I guess, I hope that's, you know, if that's the same thing. So I can totally understand.
It was
how
definitely,
that
it was not an easy decision. It felt like I was like leaving behind my family, you know? But it's like when you're going through some mental health things, sometimes you need to take that break.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like how it happened. I miss jamming with you guys so much.
Yeah. Well, you didn't leave behind anybody because here we are, right?
Yeah. So yeah. I made the decision to take a break for myself. And then so we did something super drastic, what you normally do in these kind of situations.
Yeah, what happened next?
I quit my job. Quit all my jobs that I was working at Nelson House, which is an abused women's shelter in Cornerstone. And my partner as well, he stopped working at his job. And we decided that we were going to go move to BC and live on an organic vegetable farm and learn how to farm. So we,
and that's exactly what you did.
And that's what we did.
You did that. You did that.
So after all this kind of surfaced, we, we previously, a few months before, we bought a car and we packed up and we drove across Canada to Sillista, BC and learned all about farming.
Mm-hmm. And you made it to the farm. Like you just said, and you guys were there for a while, I think.
Yeah, so we were at the farm. I think we were there for about a month. Learned, it was pretty amazing how to grow vegetables, work in greenhouses. It was really, really awesome. BC is just beautiful.
How was the road trip up, though? Because I remember you posted a lot of stuff. That was an experience, too, right?
Yeah, and it was
just to travel across Canada, just like, yay, I have nothing to do except this.
It was very, very, felt very free. Yeah. It was like totally what I needed in that time. We drove through Thunder Bay.
Oh, wow.
I think I messaged you.
My hometown. what a dump.
Yeah, Ontario was long. I was told that you would get really bored driving across the prairies because it was just flat, open land. But I loved it. Like a lot of the times we were driving through, it was like thunderstorms and it was raining. So just the clouds in the sky just looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think we made it in like, we took our time. So I think we did 5 or 6 nights and we made it. I loved it. I had such an awesome time. It was really what I needed. It was a mental break.
Mm-hmm. And you were on the farm for, you said, 2 months or a month?
Well, we were supposed to stay for 6 months. That was the goal, was to stay for 6 whole months to do a whole season there.
But you got some news.
3 weeks in, I wasn't feeling very well, and I had a lot of anxiety still. But I ended up finding out I was pregnant.
Ah, there it is.
It just was, something was late, and I ended up taking a test and found out I was pregnant 3 weeks in. And so it was very, very shocking for Josh and I.
Did you stayed at the farm for a bit, though?
Yeah, we stayed for a few more weeks, but I think we decided that we weren't able to actually commit to staying for the full 6 months because we didn't want to come back to Ottawa in November or December, having no jobs and no place to live and about to give birth to a child.
Fair enough. Well, hey, that's,
yeah,
that's good planning, I guess.
So this year has been a really wild ride. So, but we did end up staying in BC probably for another month and a half. I stayed with my sister in Kamloops for about a month. We visited friends out in Vancouver, BC. We stayed there for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We took our time driving back across Canada. We bought a tent and we did a lot of camping when we came back across Canada, which was really rough coming back across Canada with morning sickness every single day. But so that's kind of where I am now.
So when you go back to Ottawa with all these amazing new things that were on the horizon, like how did you acclimate yourself back into your everyday life? Or did you just start something different?
Well,
because before you left, you kind of, like you said, you quit your job.
Yeah.
You sold a bunch of your stuff, and you were just like, this is what we're going to do for this. And then all of a sudden, under certain circumstances, you were back home, and it was just like, goddamn.
I know. Yeah. We were supposed to be gone for 6 months, and we were only gone for 3 months. Thankfully, whenever I was actually, as we were coming back across Canada, a position had opened up at the other job. I was working at two different jobs. The other job that I was much more comfortable at for a full-time position, and I ended up applying to it, and I got it. So I was fortunate that I was able to come back and start working a full-time position at this other job, but I still had a month to take a break. Everything kind of changed, though. It was really different. It was really weird to be back and not have my band and not have, like, the same old job that I had, being pregnant, not being able to go out and have drinks with all my buddies.
What was that like to, 'cause that was in, like, almost less than a year. That was, you lived one life where you were in a band and you were out with your friends, because as long as I've known you, you've always been a social person. You go out to the bars, and that was kind of the lifestyle. And then you went and did this, and all of a sudden you came back to the same familiar life, yet you couldn't do it. How do you go from the punk rock, rock and roll lifestyle to mother to be, I guess?
Yeah, it wasn't easy. It was such a transition, and I definitely had so many waves of emotions through it. It's really hard to describe. And I remember coming out, and I just wanted to see everyone. I would come out to Targ to hang out with you guys, and you know, it was just it was awesome. It felt like it was the same, but it was like different, because I couldn't be my like old. I didn't feel like my old self. I felt like there was just like, you know, something different. And
Well,
not being able, like, as hard as it was, like, not being able to have those social drinks with everyone made it really hard. And being tired and feeling sick and not wanting to feel, like, segregated and not wanting to feel antisocial, but wanting to see everyone at the same time.
And
it was hard.
It must be scary, too, like, the whole thing. Just, like, oh, it must be, like, a huge, like, I have lots to do.
Yeah,
like,
and at the same time you're super excited and like, wow. At the same time feeling scared and just very it was definitely an identity crisis, if I could sum it up in any way. Like, this year has been a bit of an identity crisis.
And how are you doing?
Well, now I'm doing really well. I'm due in 2 weeks. So any day
I could go
into labor.
She may have the baby on the podcast, my friends.
I know. He's like, I don't even know if it's a he or a she.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another thing, too.
Yeah, but I don't know what the gender is. And so we have like a girl's name picked out, but we have no idea what to name it if it's a boy. So if you have any ideas for a boy's name, feel free to post it under this link for the podcast.
You can... you can do it on Facebook, or you can email me at egoandvice.com some names, or you can email Sarah directly, or just post it under the link.
Yeah, I'd love to
podcast.
Hear what your thoughts are on a
boy's
name.
Boy's name or girl's name? Because so much has kind of gone down in less than a year and stuff like that, and to see how well you're doing now, I'm really proud of you.
Well, thank you.
I am. Look at you. Like, it must, you know, there's lots of excitement and scary, like you said, but I'm sure you've gone through like overwhelming times, but you seem to be dealing with things amazingly, and you're happy, and you have a good support system, and you know we're always there for you.
Oh, thank you.
And the good listeners, you guys all know Sarah, so send her a good vibe, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And one nice thing about not,
she's gonna be a mom in 2 weeks, everybody. hopefully not tonight, but in 2 weeks. So
yeah, my friend just gave me a patch she picked up at D Bistro in Toronto, and it says "More Moms at Shows," which I thought was really awesome. So
yeah,
I'm gonna be
sure.
Rocking that patch.
Well, as you know, my girlfriend is the mother of two beautiful little girls, and she's one of the strongest people I know. You know what I mean? Yet she still, when those, you know, there's a babysitter, she still goes out and she drinks her gin and tonics and has a great time. So there's like so much more fun and stuff and wonderful, fulfilling motherly childing. Fuck. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm just trying to be supportive to you.
Yeah. You know, thank you. No, I really appreciate it. Yeah. I feel great. I feel ready. I'm confident. I've been sober for 8 months. No drinks, no smokes, nothing. So that's been really nice mentally.
That's fucked up for me.
And you know, once I have this baby, I'll be back. I'll be at the shows with my toddler, you know, and we'll still be out there. We'll still be participating.
That's awesome. Good for you. Let's talk about the meal mystic.
The meal mystic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that how it's...
Yeah, no, definitely. So like I was, a little website blog that I have.
Because you're a strong supporter of vegan living.
Yeah, the vegan community. Okay. I've been vegetarian for 5 years and vegan now for about a year and a half. And I just love cooking and baking. And I was like, I was always taking photos of my food. And I'm like, I really want a platform to be able to just kind of showcase these photos and some of my recipes. So I came up with the mealmystic.com, where I post some recipes and food that I cook, and it's been a lot of fun. And you know, I'm slowly building it up. I think I'm up to like 100 likes or something, which isn't much, but
it's a slow go. But so is anything else.
Yeah, it's just about having fun and just having like a platform to showcase some of my food. I love food. Especially now more than ever. And
is it all your recipes or you find other things like ideas and whatnot?
Well, the ones I'm posting are my recipes.
Yeah.
But
I remember you used to bring fried tofu. Was it fried tofu to band?
Southern fried tofu.
Yeah, that shit was good. You're like, you want some fried tofu? I'm like, no. And then I'd eat it and I'd like eat half the bag.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that's just something you do like in your spare time and stuff. I guess it's
I do a lot of cooking anyway. So, I mean, it's kind of it's a little side project right now.
That's cool. Whenever it gets posted. And how can you find that on Facebook?
I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/themealmystic. Or I have a website, which is themealmystic.com, where I post all the links for the recipes that I make. It's a fairly new website, so I don't have much up there now, but I probably have about 8 recipes on it so far, but I just started it this summer.
Cool. Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks for the shout out.
Absolutely. Okay. So we've covered a lot of stuff, a lot of interesting stuff, and, it's time for the rapid question period. This time in my Ego and Vice podcast, I ask every guest that comes in that graces me with their presence in Southwood Studio, they have to go through the rapid question period. Are you ready for that?
Sure, let's do this.
All right, here we go.
You must be fuckered, man. Like, what's he talking about?
Any questions?
Okay, rapid questions with the one and only Sarah Destruction. First question. What's your biggest musical influence?
I'm blanking right now.
Take your time.
I'll say Bad Religion.
Bad Religion. That's a fucking great one. That's mine too.
I don't know why it's stuck in my head right now.
That's cool. Second question. Are you ready? what was the first record you ever bought with your own money? Not the one that you like inherited.
Record or CD?
CD, tape, cassette, whatever.
Oh my goodness. The first one I ever bought... Sorry, this is supposed to be rapid questions, but I feel like these are like hard to like, what's the first one?
I don't know. You're supposed to tell me that.
I know.
This is the point of these questions, is to put you on the spot.
I can't even. I had such a huge record collection like back in high school, but I don't. I can't even like think of the first one.
Well, what's the first record you remember? Well, I guess from when you were a kid, just a young lad.
Dookie, Green Day.
Oh, very good.
Now that I recall, I was like 11 years old. I remember I was like, I owned this CD and I loved it.
Cool.
It's because my brother had it, and I was like, I gotta have it too.
Very good. Next question. Are you ready? What is your desert island record? What desert island record means is that if you got stranded on a desert island tomorrow and you had the choice to have one record with you to listen to until like the vultures came and pecked your eyes out, what would it be?
What would it be? These are hard questions.
Well, you can do it. Look at, she's like staring at the ceiling. Like, these are the hardest. You've been asking me questions for an hour and a half.
Yeah, I have like pregnancy brains. So like, I'm just blanking on like so many names.
Do you want to come back to that one?
Sure.
Okay. Next question. What is your guilty pleasure music?
Guilty pleasure music. Yeah. Miley Cyrus.
Nice.
And her Dead Pets album.
Wow.
Because it's like electronic and it's really cool.
Okay, cool.
She collaborated with the Flaming Lips on that one.
Oh, nice. Well,
yeah, so that's really, really cool. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome, actually. All right. what are you listening to today?
What am I listening to today?
Yeah, just music wise. You throw something on that makes you happy.
Yeah. I listen to a lot of King Tuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like poppy, lo-fi kind of fun stuff. I've been listening to kind of more calming stuff lately just to kind of get me into like the mindset of labor and stuff. So
like the ocean coming up on the seashore type of thing.
Nature stuff. but yeah, no, I like my music repertoire still like encompasses like all the old, my old favorites, like the Buzzcocks and the Damned.
Nice.
I have going a lot of, and, yeah.
Okay. Next question. she's like wide eyed, like, oh God. Okay. What was the music you listened to in the last 48 hours?
The last 48 hours. I just actually on the way driving over here, I had the Lillingtons on the stereo, car stereo.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to Tim Armstrong's A Poet's Life.
Oh, cool.
Recently. And The Damned as well has been there on the top of the list.
Awesome. Next question. Best vegan food in town.
Best vegan food in town. Depending on what you're going for, but I like Little Joe Barry's, really, really awesome cafe that's on Richmond Road, but they just have like tons of really awesome sweets and some good meals that you can get, and soft serve vegan ice cream and shakes.
Yeah,
because
you're down in Westboro now, eh? You're in the Weeb.
I'm like
the Westboro Glebe now.
I'm between Westboro and Nepean.
Okay. Yeah, there's lots of, and on Richmond and Wellington, there's lots of nice little spots like to
eat. There's so many, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, next question. Favorite non-alcoholic bevy?
It sounds so silly, but I've been ordering like Shirley Temples when I go out because I don't know what to order. It's like non-alcoholic. Makes me feel really silly, but they're really yummy.
Like the Virgin Shirley Temple. What were you talking about when you first got here, though? You're like, have you ever tried... It was like a beer or something.
Oh,
it?
Well, I mean, it's a non-alcoholic Grolsch.
Oh, Grolsch. Yeah, that was
a non-alcoholic beer. Yeah. But I mean, if I'm like... that's a non-alcoholic cocktail, but if I could say my own non-alcoholic drink, it would probably... just be like... I still like enjoy coffee. I haven't been drinking it much lately, but a good coffee.
Okay.
Blended with coconut oil in a blender. A bulletproof coffee. It's really good.
Very nice. That was it for my... actually, I have one more, but should we go back to the Desert Island record?
The Desert Island record.
The last record you could ever listen to?
I feel like there's... Like, I don't know why I'm blanking on this, but it's just... It's so hard to have this one record that you just have to keep listening to.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll leave it. Sarah will be back on the show sometime in the future because I plan to keep this going forever. So I'm going to hold that to her.
Okay.
And the very last question is, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years, I will be living probably on the outskirts of Ottawa in a home kind of in the country with a lot of land, growing my own food, growing my own vegetables. I'm going to have a child with me, which is going to be completely different. And I do hope that I'm going to be in a musical project at that point and still like playing shows and still being active in the music scene. So that's where I envision myself.
That's awesome. Okay, that was Rapid Fire Questions with Sarah Destruction. This is a song called Give Me a Break. This is GOAT. That was Give Me a Break by GOAT, co-vocalized. Is that a good word? Co-vocalized by the one Sarah Destruction. Yeah, it's cool. So we're going to redo that last question. We're going to reword it. What is your desert island band? We're not going to condense it down to a record, but to a band. If you're stuck on a desert island and you had one band to be stuck on the desert island with, who would it be?
I don't know. That kind of opens it up a bit. But one final band that I've stuck with, I feel like it would have to be like the Pixies or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
Frank Black, Kim Deal.
Yeah,
I think I could do that. Beautiful fucking band. Amazing. All right. So thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you for having me.
It's been amazing. Sarah Destruction is here. She is 2 weeks away from giving birth. We're not sure, a boy or a girl, and she had opened up earlier. If you want to give some suggestions for a boy's name,
we have a girl's name picked out.
You can email Sarah directly at. Do you want to give your email address? Or do you just want to go through this?
Yeah,
you
can go put it up on the Ego and Vice.
2018 is going to be a very busy year with Ego and Vice. If you want to be on the show, please email me at egoandvice@gmail.com. If you want me to showcase your band or play some songs, I'm here and very willing to do that. That's why I'm here anyway. I'd like to thank again Sarah Destruction for being here, and I hope she comes back.
Thank you. I will definitely be back if you ask me.
Yeah, and the next time she's back, she will be a mom. So cool. And yeah, cool. We'll see you next week. This has been Ego and Vice, episode 15, season premiere, season 3-2. Fuck. All right, bye.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.